Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. Martin Luther King had a dream. But that dream came from God. That dream was first created in the beginning of time, when God created us as one. And then we messed it up and brought all these divisions. One race is what God calls us to. It's in His Word. Last week, Aaron kicked us off with this month is about speaking into that and leading up to the event on August the 25th. And I've got this nervous anxiousness in me right now about that event. I can't wait. I'm going to be going up the mountain with 300 other pastors. And we're going to be on the mountain, on our knees, on our faces, crying out to God to lift this oppression. But it's got to start in the church. These are prayers to God, but God works through His people. God's not going to zap you and change you. You have to participate. You have to be involved. Your maturity, your growth, you getting on board with God is your choice. You have a free will. And you get to make the choice to follow God in this. We believe that. We got over 200 churches. And it's probably more by now, more than I probably don't even know the number right now, but that are going to gather on the lawn in Stone Mountain on the 25th. We're expecting over 30,000 people on the lawn at Stone Mountain, joining together, crying out to God. We got a whole lineup of worship leaders and speakers that are going to come and lead us in prayer and lead us in worship and speak the Word of God to us. And we're going to be one voice. We're going to be one heart, not as different churches, but one church under God that day. Because that's what we are. You see, it's us that create divisions, not only in churches, but with races and cultures and beliefs and opinions. But we are one under God. Last week, Aaron talked to us about God's design and creation. He said in Genesis 1, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. God created us. And He had a purpose for us. We got to get back to that. In creations, God designed for humanity was never for us to live separated or in division across cultures, across genders, or across generations. In Acts 17, it says, and He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And He is has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. This is God's design, not ours. We don't get to recreate what God already created. Unity was God's original design, starting with our relationship with God and then extending to the family unit and then transcending our societies. Sin caused the original separation between God and man, then ultimately between man and man. Because once the separation, once sin entered, and then there was this separation with God, then we became at odds with each other. Whatever sin is dividing us across cultural lines must be repented of through corresponding words and thoughts and deeds. Our repentance to God in this is more than just saying, I'm sorry. Whenever there's forgiveness, there's two parts. When we sin against another person, it's asking God for the forgiveness of what we did because we've done it against God, what He told us not to do. But then there's a right to be made. And that's with the person that you offended. And so our repentance is not just, God, forgive me for my racial attitudes, for my divisive, for my disunity in my spirit. But then there's a second part to that. We have to walk in that repentance to make it real. Remember, our faith is made known by our works, right? Show me your faith by what you do, and I'll believe you. I believe that you walk in repentance when you are getting on board with breaking the boundaries and breaking the chains and breaking the walls of racial oppression and walking in reconciliation and revival. So we have to walk in that, and we're going to walk in that. That's what we're going to be a part of this movement, church. My son graduated high school a few months ago. But there's a next step. He's not going to live with me forever. Of course, some parents would like that. It's like, come on, stay with me as long as you want. Not me. Come on. No, I love my son. I got one in Knoxville living there permanently. Now we just delivered Garrett. I wasn't here last Sunday because we moved him in last week. And he was so excited. We got his room ready. But there's a next step. It was very hard. Our last one at home, but as sad as we are, and we are very proud and excited for the road ahead of him and the choices he will make as he continues to grow as a man. I have to be honest, you know, we went and saw him yesterday. We thought maybe we were going to spend some time with him, take him to dinner, took his bike to him, because he's been gone all week to this excursion. He went camping with other freshmen, and just had an incredible time. So we've taken his bike. He calls us when he gets in. We get on the road. We go through traffic downtown. We get out there, and we see him. We give him a hug. He said, I got to be someplace at 4. What? Yeah, there's a freshman festival I'm going to with some other freshmen. I said, oh, okay. Okay, we locked his bike up on the bike rack. We took his stuff up to his room. And then he said, and then I got a floor meeting at 6 o'clock. And then after that, they have a freshman disco going on. So I'm meeting some freshmen over there, and we're going to dance and hang out and all that good stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, right. So no Mexican, no, what's that place called? The Lazy Donkey Mexican place. Brad and Cheryl graduated from West Georgia. They know all about all that over there. So, you know, I was a little sad. But you know what? I'm also glad that he is like, I'm ready to take new ground. And even walking in here, it's like he used to help with lights, and it's like he's not going to be here. It's the Lord. But I'm so proud of him. Along with all of the others of you, like I know Aiden, who sang up here today, she leaves for college this week. She's taking new ground. Sydney, who plays the drums, she's leaving for college the next week. She's taking new ground. Some of you are taking your next steps in life. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. And it's no different in the church. For us as adults, as we lead, we have to take new ground. We can't stay where we are. We have to be moving forward with what God's plan is. It was never to stand still. It was never to sit still. It was to move and take new ground, because the devil is. He's taken all the ground that he can take. I visited Ronald Forbes last week in the hospital. Ronald, some of you know him, had a stroke. No movement yet on his right side, and I say yet. His speaking has been affected, but he can still smile and say, yeah, 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 it's good. Went and prayed with him. I encouraged him. He praised God. But he must move forward to get better. Even though this stroke has affected him, it's in his responsibility to do the work, to come back. Can God heal him on the spot? Absolutely. But more times than not, God wants us to participate in that. Not just go to rehab, but participate in rehab. Not sitting or lying there, that doesn't move him forward toward healing. It moves him backwards. A body in motion stays in motion. A body that just lies there dies. His daughter was there and told me that they had been praying for a renewed mind. You see, that's scriptural for him. That he leaves and goes to rehab with a renewed mind and a renewed heart, that God's not done with me yet. I've still got some moving to do, some growing to do, some affecting to do. And so they were praying for a renewed mind. And you know, Romans 12 is all about that. That our transformation is about our mind being renewed in the Word. That God renews it through His Word. And only then, it says, will we be able to test and approve what God's good, His pleasing, and perfect will is. We have to renew our mind, not live the same old mind, not stay in the same place. God, what new ground? Because the new ground requires new thoughts and new ideas and new strategies. So let's think about it and then let's do it. The Fountain Church, we will always have a next step. We will always have new ground that God is asking us to take. We are never to be complacent or idle. And I know some of us will say, well, I'm tired. I just don't feel like doing anything. Well, that's okay. You can do that for a day. But then get back on board because we got some ground to take. There will be seasons that the amount of ministry that we do will vary. It will. But there should never be a place in our history where we aren't gaining ground or moving forward with the vision and the call that God's given us as a church. Moving children's ministry up here is part of that. Hiring our next student pastor, which we are very close to. Matter of fact, I want you to write this down if you got a pencil, and I'm just going to give you first names. I need you to pray for the name Justin and the name Grant. I spent an hour and a half with Grant on the phone yesterday and some more time with Justin. We actually brought Justin in, and we're probably going to bring Grant in. Grant lives in Texas right now, and Justin is in Nebraska right now. And out of about 35 resumes, we're down to 2 right now. God is showing us the way, because we don't want just a person to fill a spot. We want the right person that we're trying to discover who God has already chosen. So pray for that. Pray for those two names this week. We ask for your continued prayers in that. And then after that, we're going to be working on a worship pastor. I can't only do so much at one time. And so we got to take one step at a time. And this process is wearing me out. But I'm ready for God to say, this is it. Let's do it. And then we'll take the next step, right? All in step with the Spirit. Please write this down. The CDC, Gwinnett Community Impact Foundation. We're waiting for our federal approval on that so that we can do non-religious ministry. We're going to put it under that for the community on this campus. We've got plans for God to use us to reach this community. And this CDC that we're working for is going to allow us to do some of those things. To have camps here, like in the summer. You know, some of the ideas, and you know, just hold on. Don't just run out just yet. We're talking about changing this worship center into a gym, too. So we can bring kids in here. In the community that don't know Jesus. They can come into a church and play some basketball or play some volleyball or play some kickball, and they're in a church, and that's going to be run by Jesus people. And by being an example for these kids, they'll want to say, hey, I go there to play my basketball, or I go there on the field. Where's the field? I always get my directions. The field's over here. To transform the field and have softball or kickball or baseball or some soccer. Thank you very much. You know, I know he was cheering for Liverpool this morning. He was. To have all these things to bring these kids, because, you know, the whole strategy here to grow our church is about where the kids are, the parents are going to follow. We want to care about the kids in this community and their families. And so we got to set ourselves up for that. We can't just sit. We got to work hard. Is it going to be easy to get there? No, it's not going to be easy to get there. But it's worth it because God has called us to do that. And anything God says is worth it, amen? But we got to do our part. We got to participate. We got to set ourselves up, our lives, our individual family lives, to be on board with what God's doing here. God always has a next step ready for us. The Fountain Church is in the best. I just need to let you know this. You know, our elders meet, and we're working hard behind the scenes. And I just need to let you know that the Fountain Church is in the best financial condition that we've been in since inception. That God is doing great things. And I believe it's because of our faithfulness. And I believe it's because we hadn't got ahead of God. That's my biggest problem in life. He's like, when I know there's something I want to do, let's go do it now. But God said, whoa, wait a minute. I got something to do in you. I got something to happen here before this can happen here. I'm just giving you a little taste here. This is just a step, Pastor Mike, just a step. Don't take a leap yet. Don't take two or three steps yet. Just take the first step that I've given you, and then let me pour into you, and let me pour into the church and the people what I need to pour in, and then the next step will be ready for you, right? But we get so impatient, like we want it all to happen right now. And it's in God's timing, right? Let's just walk in obedience and stay faithful and glorify him and lift up Jesus here and lift up Jesus in our community when we leave these four walls. That's what he's called us to. We're closing on a refi of this property, and this just blows me away. Our finance team and elders have been working on this. We're going to be saving between $4,600 and $5,200 a month on our note on this property. God is doing some great things. You know, we had a storm come through here about 5 weeks ago, and it flooded all three buildings. And it tore part of the roof off of the 200 building. Some of you may not have known that. And we're still dealing with those repairs. But you know, since I got here, that fence on the retention pond has been falling down. It's ugly. We've been working on our curb appeal, if you will. And it's like, we don't have the money. It's like $6,500, $7,500 to put that fence back up. And it's like, we don't have that money. But through that devastation that happened, through the storm, God gave us a blessing, because what it cost to fix the things back didn't take all of the insurance money, so we can put that fence back up now. So in the storm, in the devastation, or what we look at as like, oh, just another thing to take care of, God reveals a blessing, and all we got to do is do it and say, thank you, Lord. Bob Manning, who's been a part of Trinity for a long time, the Trinity Church, and now part of the Fountain. My wife, my bride, and myself are leaving for Peru this Saturday for 4 days. And my prayer is clarity from God as to what our position and responsibility is with global missions in regards to Peru. Because, see, when we merged, we didn't know what God wanted us to do, and we're still trying to fill out and see from God what our global mission and position is and responsibility, and then walk in it. So I've been praying, and I need you to pray, and we're going to do that at the very end of the service. I need you to pray, not selfishly, but pray, God, we want to know where you want us to be. We want to know what you want us to do for our brothers and sisters in other countries. We want to know that. There is always a necessary next step, a next level to any relationship. Maturing as a follower of Christ is not an option, but a responsibility. One that we have to embrace if we're going to grow. We have to grow. We have to move forward. We have to be stronger and wiser. If we are standing still, we're not just standing still, we're going backwards. If we are not gaining ground, we are losing it. There is no middle ground with God, no lukewarmness, no fence sitting, no one foot in the world and one foot in heaven, no blessings and cursings from the same mouth, because Scripture says this should not be. But the devil would have you believe different. The devil would have you believe him. He wants division in the church, division in the different cultures. We have to fight for one race. One people, one body of Christ, for Christ, belonging to Christ. He calls us to be one, and one means we have to fight for unity at all cost. For reconciliation where there is disunity, revival where there is stagnation. Feel the passion, the urgency, the angst for this again. There should be a holy discontent, and I'll say that again, a holy discontent in our spirit to make things right, to walk in right, to be in pursuit of righteousness. Division is from the enemy. The word devil comes from the Greek word diabolos. According to Helps Word Studies, this word means a slanderer, a false accuser, unjustly criticizing to hurt or malign and condemn to sever a relationship. This is the devil. He doesn't want us to be together. He wants us to be apart because he knows if he can get us isolated, he's got the best chance of getting us. That's what he does to families. And if he does that to families, the families that make up the church body, then he can do that and he can get in here. Satan's plans to continue to accuse one another so that he may divide humanity in order to ultimately speak or write about us to one another in an abusively disparaging manner and finally cause us to sin against one another. Ephesians 6 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." My problem is not with my brother. My problem is not with my sister. But see, the devil wants us to see it that way. It's against the flesh and blood that's being affected and tempted and being submitted to the devil's schemes. So we got to pray for our brother and pray for our sister and not reach out against them and judge them and condemn them. That's God's job, not ours. Our job is to look for unity and find a bridge to build and encourage them. But it's so easy to go the other direction. Those who think of themselves as greater than others will eventually abuse those they demean. When they live subjugating and suppressing others, they will ultimately dehumanize them. You ever been in that position? You ever done that to somebody? This is why the sin of disunity is so important. It only causes us to dehumanize those made in the image of God, in the likeness of our Creator. Romans 12:3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. In your faith, walk it out in humility, not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought in the presence of those God wants to use you to draw to him." Romans 12:9 says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself." Honor one another above yourself. So many times we get that reversed. Any ideology which minimizes any group based on their culture or skin color is a supremacist ideology and inconsistent with the gospel. Only through the gospel is reconciliation between churches possible. In the gospel, these two reconciliations are absolutely clear. We are reconciled to God through, say it with me, the cross. Say it with me, the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God and has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, you have upon you the responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation, not division. There's lots of reasons to be divided, but there's one greater reason to be reconciled. It's because God called us to that, and we are his people, and he loves his people. He loves you. We are reconciled to one another through the same power of the cross, to each other. That's the second way. There's a song lyric that Petra, one of my favorite rock and roll groups from a long time ago, they did a song called It Is Finished. And the bridge of the song says, the provision has been made, the foundation has been laid, he paid the ransom due, tore the temple veil in two, and opened up the way for me and you. It is finished. He already made a way for reconciliation back to God, but we have to walk in it. If you believe it, walk in it. Ephesians 2 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you were once were far off and have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, praise God, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. If there is enmity between you and God, it should not be. If there's enmity between you and man, there should not be. We can disagree, and we can look at people and say, that is a bad thing, that is evil. But you know what? God loves those people that we qualify as evil. He loves everybody. How can God love somebody who molested a child? How can God love somebody who went in and shot up a school and killed 16 teenagers? How can God love somebody who bombed that building and over 3,000 people lost their lives? How can God love them? How can he love me? Scripture says he is a patient God, and his desire is that all men come to him and know him and be redeemed. Scripture says that there's no place we can go that we're outside of the love of God, that we get separated from him, because his love extends the boundaries. He loves. And that's hard for us to grasp because we see with human eyes and we feel with the human heart. Yes, God's given to us, but he wants us to submit to him in his way. Only by going. Okay, going is a verb. Going is an action term. By going to the cross, we are able to be reconciled. You can't do it on your own, in other words. You don't have the power on your in your human strength to do that. Only by the Holy Spirit living in you, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you, can you do that. It is hard. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that and mean it? It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. What did you say to that person on the road yesterday? Is that Christ living in you? What about the attitude you had about this person or the action that you did to your neighbor? Is that Christ living in you? No longer I who live, but Christ living in me? I think we need to read our scripture sometimes. We must be willing to embrace the cross of Christ in order to truly live in the kingdom. This means that we need to die to our preferences, to our desires, including our cultures, in order to become one in Christ. Not necessarily give them up, but die to us like they're not as important as the body, as the whole. There's another song lyric, so a more recent band, called Need to Breathe. And you'll notice we played that when we started The Fountain. We did the song called Come to the Fountain. That's a Need to Breathe song. We love Need to Breathe, me and my wife. And there's a song called Hard Love off their latest album. But I want to read a lyric off of that. It says, trading punches with the heart of darkness, going to blows with your fear incarnate, never gone until it's stripped away. A part of you has got to die today. In the morning, you're going to need an answer. Ain't nobody going to change the standard. It's not enough to just feel the flame. You got to burn your whole self away. Hold on tight a little longer. What don't kill you makes you stronger. Get back up because it's a hard love. You can't change without a fallout. It's going to hurt, but you don't slow down. Get back up because it's a hard love. It is a hard love. Jesus knew that when he went to the cross. He loved us hard. He loved us deep. And he loved us long, and he still is doing it. And he wants us to follow suit. Church, we must die every day to our own desires, our own preferences, our own comforts, our own ideals, our own opinions, so that oneness can exist, so that one race can exist. We don't lose our cultural distinctions. We submit them to the cross. And then the last point I want to make, and we're going to go into some worship time. Reconciliation and unity in Christ are commanded in Scripture. If your brother has an issue with you or you have an issue with your brother, what's scriptural? You go to them. You don't talk about them behind their back. You don't malign them. You don't slander them. You go to them. Matthew 5. People say, go Matthew 5 them. Go Matthew 5 them. Well, here's what Matthew 5 says. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. It's right there. We are called to be united in thought and purpose. 1 Corinthians 1, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there will be no divisions among you, but that you perfectly are united in mind and thought. We are to have one mind, one mouth, one heart to glorify the Lord. Romans 15, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Ultimately, in all we do, in all we say, in all we think, in all we feel, the goal is to bring glory and praise to the Father, the Creator, the Almighty, and his son, Jesus Christ. But we get caught up in our differences. We get caught up because I really like this, or I'm more comfortable doing that. Mm-mm. God doesn't want us to be comfortable. And I really, if I hope our elders, if I start getting too comfortable in things, I hope my elders hold me accountable. Because I don't want us to be comfortable. I want us to feel like, oh man, I'm not comfortable in my skin. We got to do something. We got to get out there. More people need to know the Lord. We got to reach this community in different ways. Because Jesus died for that. He didn't die for us to sit here in our holy huddles, in our seats, and be comfortable and just enjoy each other. That's good to do that. We like that. Mm-mm. But it's harder out there. It's messier out there. It's uncomfortable out there. I might get dirty out there. I might not believe everything that they believe. They might come at me with some kind of theology or some kind of philosophy that I don't understand, and that makes me uncomfortable. I don't know how to speak to that. All he wants us to do is build a bridge in love to start with. You see, we're not responsible for what the Holy Spirit's responsibility is. And sometimes we think we are. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the changing, the transforming. We just have to walk in obedience and go. It will be uncomfortable. Let's go together. I'll encourage you if you get down. You encourage me if I get down. We do it together. We're going to be doing that at Stone Mountain on August the 25th. I fully believe it's going to be the most powerful worship service I've ever been a part of. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to answer the cries of all his church that are meeting, over 30,000 of us. And he's going to answer. He's going to answer. And we got to keep walking in it. We got to keep walking. It doesn't stop there. It's like, okay, we have our prayer. God's going to answer, so we're all good. No, we got to keep moving, taking new ground. And it's going to be hard. The enemy is there, and he's going to fight us. He is going to fight us. But we have the Word of God as our weapon, and prayer, and the power of the Spirit. So let's do what we're called to do. Let God tend to the results. And let's just do what we're called to do and be obedient. And guess what? He will work all things to his glory to those who love him, the purpose that he's called us to. That's all we have to do. He's just walking what he's called us to walk in. And you know what? And it's we think it's so hard, and I'm going to take one more minute, and then I want to segue into communion and worship. We were talking about in our men's group this past week about persecution. Like, we don't know persecution here. There are people who speak the name of the Lord in other countries and know that if someone hears them speak it, they could lose their life. If they just say, Lord, and they're still doing it. Because it means something to them. When you say, Lord, when you say, it's Christ living in me, is it for real? Or is it just lip service because you're around somebody that really wants to hear that from you? But let's live it out, church. Let's move forward. One race, one voice, one heart, one sacrifice of praise. Let's look like what heaven's going to look like, right? God loves his people. And he loved us so much that he sent his son. He died on a cross. And we're going to go into a time right now of communion where we celebrate that. It means something to me every week, and it should to you. I just believe that with all my heart. That's why we do it every week. Because it needs to be something new. Don't let it become vain repetition or rote. Let it be something new every week as a reminder that you thank God for what he did for you. And then ask him to give you strength to walk in it like you believe it. But we have the bread and we have the juice. And they represent what Jesus did for us, giving his body up on the cross and his blood was shed. And believe me, Scripture says without that blood shedding on the cross, you are not forgiven of sins and you are not made clean. So that's why as believers, we do this. And I want it to be what you do. And then there's another one of our things that God asks us to do is to give to the church, to support the ministry. It's given back to God, but the money doesn't actually go to God. It's God's money. It's his economy. And we get confused. Now, we get debate about that stuff all the time, but this is for what God has called us to do here, right? You have been faithful. Continue to be faithful. God's blessings will show up in your life in many ways. So be faithful to what he's called you to be faithful. So we take up tithes and offerings. And so that basket is at those tables today. So you be faithful in that, what God's called you. And God will move our church forward as we walk in obedience. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you for today and all your blessings. God, your favor is palpable. I believe that your thumbprint is right on us, God, because I fully believe that as we're looking at what's transpiring, God, and we look in the past and where we've waited and we didn't get ahead, God, that you are reaping blessings at this moment on your church. And God, it's not just for us. It's not about us. It's about what you want us to do to reach others. You're blessing us so we can be a blessing to others, God. Let us not get that wrong. Let us not take those blessings and hoard them or put them away, God. Let us use them because there's one more person that needs to know Jesus. There's one more opportunity to serve, God. This building is just a building. It's a brick and mortar, and it's temporal. But, God, what you do and the change you make in people is eternal. And that's what you've called us to be a part of. So thank you, Jesus, for dying for that, for us, because you have faith in us and forgive us when our faith wanes. But thank you for being faithful to us. So we celebrate that and we remember that right now. So we ask your blessing upon all who would remember that and all who would bring a gift and a tithe of what you require of us, Lord, to do the ministry you called us to do. We offer this as part of our worship, God, and it's in the powerful, powerful name of Jesus that we pray, and may it be so. And everybody said together, amen.